Well, good morning, everybody, and welcome to Decatur City Church Online. I'm so glad that your family is joining our family this morning. If we've never met, my name is Tinsley. I'm the lead pastor here, and I think it's really cool that you would spend part of your weekend, especially this weekend, with us. I mean, it's Mother's Day weekend. I want to give a shout out to all you moms out there. Happy Mother's Day to you. I feel like being a mom is probably one of the hardest jobs out there normally. And now during this season, I mean, it's only magnified, right? I mean, now not only are you holding down that career, you're probably trying to keep everybody in your family sane, and you've also had to take on the responsibility of teaching and educating your kids, which is a lot, if we could be honest. So moms, thank you so much for all you do. I hope you have felt celebrated today. At the same time, I know this weekend can also be especially difficult for some of you out there. Maybe you've lost your mom, or just simply the reality that you're not able to give your mom a hug today has been especially difficult. I hope maybe, just maybe, something has brought you joy or happiness this weekend. I know for us, we worked really hard to celebrate Laurie and my mom and her mom this weekend, but it definitely has been a reminder that things are just not normal right now. I mean, for me, normally, there's so much excitement right now. It seems like the momentum of life is only ramping up this time of year. I mean, spring is in full force, and we're everywhere you're able to look. I mean, it feels like new trees are coming up, and grass is green, and the flowers in our yard are showing up. And there's so much excitement about the future. We're starting to anticipate new plans and new things and all the activities we're going to do over the summer. And it just kind of feels like normally, there's a lot of momentum and a lot of life, but this weekend, it doesn't quite feel that way, does it? I mean, instead of being outside and around people and filled with excitement, we find ourselves trapped inside more than normal. I mean, it feels like things that normally are speeding up are kind of slowing down, and it feels like things that had momentum are losing momentum. I mean, this church that we've spent so much of our energy and time and investing into so that we could have a permanent location, and now we can't even gather together. We honestly don't know when we're going to be able to use our building again. I mean, my accounts, my savings account and retirement accounts, the kids' college accounts, I've just stopped looking, because talk about momentum loss. I mean, there's been a lot of loss there. But some of you have experienced a lot more than that. You've lost your job. Some of you know people who have gotten sick. And I know for me, a good friend of mine, he lost his teenage son during this season. And we've walked through the grieving process with them. And it's a lot to take in right now. It feels like what normally is a season that's marked by life, it kind of feels like it's a season marked by death. I mean, not just physical death so much, but the death of our dreams and the death of our plans and the things that we were hoping to experience. It feels like a lot of that has just kind of been taken away from us. And when I feel that way, I start to kind of wrestle with some really big questions. I start to ask questions like, where is God in all this? What's going on? Is he still in control? I mean, I thought he was the God of life. So why am I experiencing so much loss and so much what feels like death right now? But what if there's another way to look at all of this? What if there's a better way that we can kind of look at this season and get our mind around what's actually happening? What if there's some great paradox at play here? You see, I actually think it's easy for us to feel disconnected from God in a season like this. But what if the loss we're feeling? What if what feels like death, the death of our dreams and our future, what if that's actually what grants God so much authority right now? What if he knows exactly what it feels like to experience the kind of pain and the kind of loss that we're experiencing? I mean, think about what he must have felt when Jesus died on the cross. But what if that death, what if he was accomplishing something so much bigger than we could possibly get our minds around? What if God was leveraging death to actually defeat death? Now, I know that's a big question, but what if there's something at play there that maybe we could pay attention to during a season like this? I mean, think about it this way. For those of us who claim to be followers of Jesus, there's two significant events that really mark and outline our faith. There's the crucifixion, there's the cross on one side, and then there's the resurrection, there's the grave on the other side. And both of these events are so significant. In fact, our faith would not be what it is without both of them. You've got the cross, you've got the crucifixion. That's where Jesus died for our sins. But thankfully, he didn't just die because you have the resurrection. He came back to life so that we're not just free from our sins. We're free to live a new life. We're free to be new creations that are marked by forgiveness, that are marked by grace, that it represents the love that God has for us, that he doesn't just end something. He starts something new and something better. You have the cross where Jesus took all of our struggling, all of our striving, everything that we work so hard for, all of those efforts where we try to prove ourselves, and he died for those so that we no longer have to be held by those things. But he also came back to life so that we could have a new life, a life that's marked by contentment and peace and joy and satisfaction in him. You have two significant events. You have the cross and you have the grave. You have a crucifixion, but you have a resurrection. You have death and life working together hand in hand to bring about new things. I think there's probably none who understood this paradox more than the New Testament authors, and probably none more than a guy named the Apostle Paul. He's actually been credited with writing over half of the New Testament. And if he's a new figure to you, I totally understand that. He's a really interesting guy. You see, Paul, early on in his life, he was so opposed to Christianity. He actually spent most of his life trying to end it. He persecuted those who claimed to be followers of Jesus, only later in life to become a follower of Jesus himself. He actually joined the movement that Jesus started, a movement that was called The Way. And he traveled all over the Middle East, starting churches based on this paradox that we've been talking about, based on the transformative power of both the cross and the grave, the crucifixion, and the resurrection. And to one of those churches that he started, a church in a town called Corinth, he wrote a letter to them. And this is what he said, and I think it's so relevant for us today. He said, "Yes, we are hard pressed on every side, but we're not crushed. We are perplexed, but we are certainly not in despair. We're persecuted, but we are not abandoned. We are struck down, but we are not destroyed. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus so that the life of Jesus may be revealed in our body. For we who are alive are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that his life may also be revealed in our mortal body. So then, yes, death is at work, but life is also at work in you." Did you catch that? It's that paradox, death and life working together. So while we're experiencing a lot of loss right now, I wonder if some of it is some loss that we should be experiencing. Maybe right now we're experiencing the death of this desire we have to understand and have a certain future. Maybe we're dying to the idea that we are independent and self-sufficient on our own. Maybe, just maybe, this season is the opportunity for us to die to the fact we're not in control. That's okay.
All of my restlessness, my crisis of confidence, my shame and my discontent, it is finished. Every sleepless night, wondering if my life is just a losing fight. It is finished. All of my restlessness, my crisis of confidence, my shame and my discontent, it is finished. Every sleepless night, wondering if my life is just a losing fight. It is finished. 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 With your final breath, you put sin to death. It is. Every colorless stream, the coming apart at the seams, it is finished. is satisfied in the thrill of never having enough, is finally losing its grip. When I couldn't stand to live another day with myself, you lived and died in my place. You shouldered heaven and hell and cried out, where are your accusers now? It is finished. It is finished. It is finished. It is finished. With your final breath, you put sin to death. It is finished. It is finished.
You know, this isn't just some great spring narrative. I mean, this is how God works. This is the great mystery, the great paradox of the New Testament, that God takes what can seem like or feel like death, and he can at the same time use it to create something completely new, something better for all of us, something that is so much better than we could have possibly imagined. So how can we put ourselves in this story? How can we apply this great mystery, this great paradox to our lives right now? How can we live in the midst of both death and life? I know that's a big question, and it can be really hard to get our minds around something like that, especially, honestly, when so many of us, we really do feel like we've experienced a lot of suffering. It can be hard to think about using our suffering or our pain or our loss for something good. But make no doubt about it, people for centuries have done this. People have gone before us who have experienced such great loss, and yet some really great things have come out of their pain. I'm reminded of one lady. Her name is Candy Leitner. And I know you may not be familiar with her name, but I bet you're familiar with the organization she started. She started an organization called Mothers Against Drunk Driving. And it was founded after her 13-year-old daughter tragically lost her life to a drunk driver. She didn't just hold on to this pain and just focus on this pain. The pain that she was feeling was real, but she allowed that pain to focus her energy and efforts onto others to make sure that some good came out of this horrific, horrific evil that happened to her family. Or I think about the students at Parkland High School in Florida who had experienced so much tragedy and so much grief. And instead of just living in what was real, living in the pain, they allowed their pain to motivate them, to make sure that nobody anywhere had to experience the pain and the loss that they had experienced. They allowed something good to come out of what was intended for evil. And I know that doesn't necessarily mean that we're going to start some nonprofit or that we're going to go out and start an advocacy campaign. It probably won't look like that at all. But I think there's something so powerful in understanding that people who have gone before us, they didn't just kind of glibly, you know, cry out, well, I bet God's going to use this for good, or I bet God has a purpose in this. But instead, they took this emotion that was so real, and they allowed God to transform this painful, painful experience into something that became so good. And I don't know what it looks like for you. I certainly don't know what it looks like for me, even sitting in this moment. Perhaps it means something as simple as just allowing your hurt to be for somebody else's good, to make sure nobody else has to feel the same level of hurt that you have felt. One thing that's amazing about every single one of us is we have very unique stories, and we've experienced a lot of different things. Many of you know what rejection feels like. So many of you have struggled with things like addiction or abuse, and maybe, just maybe, God wants to take what feels like an unbearable moment in your story and use it to create an unbelievable opportunity for you to not only experience change, but for other people to experience change and healing. I have no idea what God is up to right now, but I'm convinced that maybe he wants to do something in our lives that's just as unprecedented as the season we're actually living in. I'm also convinced of this. We're gonna get through this difficult moment in history, but I'm not convinced that life should look exactly the same on the other side of this as it did going into it. I mean, if our only goal in this season is simply to put our heads down and to try to power through and get back to normal without any hope or anticipation that things might actually turn out better or could become better because of this, then I think we're missing out on a really, really big opportunity. I mean, think about it. If Jesus's victory over death taught us anything, it certainly taught us that a disruption of normal or a disruption of what we might expect is not a bad thing. I mean, maybe for us right now, this disruption of normal would give us eyes to see our community in a whole new way. Maybe we'd be able to solve problems that we've never been able to solve before. Maybe this disruption to our normal routine or rhythm creates opportunities for us to love our friends and family in a whole new way and focus on them in ways that we really didn't even know we should have been focusing on them. Maybe, just maybe, this opportunity or this season, this disruption, if you will, maybe it just simply allows us to see things the way they really should be. Maybe it allows us to see our neighbors and to love our neighbors the way our Heavenly Father loves us. In fact, I think this paradox that we've been talking about, I think it, at some point it will allow us to look back on this season that has been so disruptive. I think it may allow us to look back on this season and actually be somewhat thankful. I mean, think about it. When are things ever easier to let go of than when they've actually already been taken away from us? So I know this is a season of hardship, but maybe one day we'll see this as a very transformative season where some new opportunities and some really great things were started because of the disruptions that were caused right now. I don't know about you, but I don't want to miss out on any of those incredible opportunities. So I'd love to get us to just think about a few things as we head into this next week. Here's a couple of questions for you to consider as we head into this week together. The first is just simply, what are you learning? I mean, what are you seeing right now that you've never seen before? What opportunities do you see out there that maybe you could lean into? What problems could you solve? The next thing I would ask you to consider is just a how question. I mean, how has your perspective changed? How has your view of yourself changed? How has your view of your family or your neighbors or your coworkers? How is your view of your Heavenly Father changed? I mean, how has your view of what's most important changed? I think if we would lean into those questions and we would remind ourselves of this incredible New Testament paradox that we're living in, this idea that death and life, they work together. And anytime that we experience what feels like loss, there's an opportunity to experience at the same time something new and something better. I mean, remember what Paul said, what we looked at earlier in the service, and think about it in light of this paradox that we've been talking about. He said to the church at Corinth, and he would say to us, he says, yes, we are hard pressed on every side, but we're not crushed. We are perplexed, but we're not people who are in despair. We're persecuted, but we're not abandoned. We're struck down, but we are certainly not destroyed, because we always carry around in our body the death of Jesus. And we carry the death of Jesus so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body at the same time. For we who are alive are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that his life may also be revealed in our body. So then, Paul would tell you, I would tell you, yes, death is at work in us. Death is all around us. We've experienced more loss than maybe we ever have at any one moment in our history. But at the same time that death is at work in us, he would also remind us, and I would remind you, that life is at work in you as well.
I searched the world, but it couldn't fill me. Man's empty praise and treasures that fade, never enough. Then you came along, you put me back together. Now every desire is now satisfied here in your love. Oh, there's nothing He's the God of the valley. There's not a place your mercy and grace won't find me again. Oh, there's nothing better than you. Oh, there's nothing better than you, Lord. There's nothing, nothing is better than you.
You turn mourning to dancing. You give beauty for ashes. You turn shame into glory. You're the only one who can.
You turn graves into gardens. You turn bones into armies. You turn seas into highways. You're the only one who can. You turn graves into gardens. Turn bones into army. You turn seas into highways. You're the only one who cares. 'Cause there's nothing better than you, Lord. There's nothing better than you, Lord. There's nothing, nothing is.
Lord, thank you so much for the opportunity to still connect with each other and with you. And thank you so much that we have hope, not only in life but in death, that you give us purpose and hope, and we're so grateful for that, Lord. In your name we pray, amen. Thank you guys so much for joining us this week. Happy Mother's Day, and we'll see you next week right here at Decatur City Online.